Okay, I have a question for all of you. Most of us, I hope, took part in a lot of different Christmas celebrations, both times of worship and maybe gift giving. And just have a question, if you want to know what present you got before you unwrap it, what are some ways, if you just can't wait, what are ways that we figure out what we got before it's opened? What's that? Shake it. Okay, good. Both of you. All right, so I'm going to shake this. You tell me what it is. A puzzle. Yeah, good. From my growing up years, whenever we'd get this shape, you'd always know what it is. A record. Yeah. A calendar would be good, too. That actually would confuse things a little bit. Is it a calendar or is it a record? Yeah, those are the two examples I have. You could always, I'm wearing the shirt, April's dress. We went to Boscov's. We bought those 3 weeks ago and then wrapped them up for each other, gave them out on Monday. So that's an easy one. Any other thoughts? Like, how do you know what a present is beforehand? Nate? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially like the white, if you can read through there, you might be able to know what album this is. So, okay, get mom talking. Or look in the closets, know what closets your parents hide things in. Okay, so yeah. Leave those there. So, just as a lead into the stories, like this, the early part of Luke 1 and 2, the stories we've been looking at the last few weeks, there's a lot of things happening where evidence is given of the reality that's unfolding, that God is on the move. He's sending his salvation into this world through this baby that we've been introduced to. It's like just like when the wrapping paper's ripped off, we can see the curtains being opened in a lot of ways for all these different characters to see how God's moving. And we want to think about that. Later on, we'll have sharing how we've been able to have our eyes open to how God's at work even today around us. So you can be thinking about that. But in these first two chapters of Luke is really specific as he's telling these stories about the fact that the work of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit in these people's lives to help open their eyes or open their hearts to see what's going on. And give this recognition. And I want to give some scriptures, and Jan and Dean are going to help me here. These are different instances in this early story, Luke 1 and 2, where different people are given this revelation, the Holy Spirit's moving in their hearts to be able to see what's going on. So I'm going to start with Zechariah. This is from Luke 1. The angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says, Elizabeth's going to have a child. He will be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Speaking about John. He will bring many people from Israel back to the Lord, their God. And so Zechariah, after experiencing Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy and the birth of John, his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free. That's often when scripture talks about the Holy Spirit inspiring something, it's tongues are set free, people in a loud voice exclaim, and this is what Zechariah exclaimed.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant.
So now Mary, after she too is visited by Gabriel, the angel, and being told that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, the one who will reign forever, she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, who's now pregnant with John. And Elizabeth, when she heard Mary's greeting, the baby within her leaped and in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and with a loud voice she proclaimed,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
So then Mary, who's encouraged by Elizabeth's words and filled with the Holy Spirit herself, proclaims,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Okay. So now, as we heard some from our drama, and our focus, scriptural focus from today, is that scene at the temple when Mary and Joseph take Jesus. It was the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses to be performed, and also that every firstborn male would be consecrated to the Lord. So they went to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And there was a man there in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Let's remember that. A righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do what was the custom of the law to do. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
"Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon said, and then Simeon blessed them, and he said this to Mary, his mother:
"This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
And then Anna, the prophet, came from the tribe of Asher. She's very old. She had lived with her husband for only 7 years, and then was a widow until age 84. And at that very moment, the same time that Simeon was blessing the child and the family, she came forward.
"And she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem."
Okay, thanks. So as I said, and as you could hear in the readings, Luke really wants us to know that these are Holy Spirit-inspired events that are happening. But also, Luke's really deliberate to emphasize that these revelations came to those who were righteous and devout. Think about everybody mentioned here, and it says Zechariah and Elizabeth, righteous and devout people. Mary's described that way. Simeon, Anna. Now, we can clearly say, and there's many other stories we could say where people who maybe even aren't searching for the Lord, he reveals himself. Jesus reveals himself to them in scriptural times and in today's times. But it's an encouragement to us to think, as we are in our devout faith, as we take time to seek the Lord in our day-to-day life, that we might be able to more clearly see the ways that God's working in our midst. And I want to think specifically about Simeon and Anna. It says about Simeon, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, like, what's it mean that you're waiting for the consolation of Israel? Consolation, the definition of it is to come to someone and try to alleviate their grief, to take away a sense of loss or trouble. He's waiting for his people to be alleviated from their grief, their troubles. And specifically that the people of Israel were looking for their Messiah, the one who would come and bring comfort, who would shepherd the people with strength, with righteousness, and restore their good fortune. Isaiah 40 prophesies, and this might sound familiar, we read it a lot at Christmas time. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. To receive double in scriptural talk is to receive something in abundance. The people of Israel, they're looking forward to that day when God will come and overwhelm them with his mercy even more than they deserve. And isn't that what we say about Jesus, that he's come to us with abundant mercy to forgive us and redeem us way beyond what we could even imagine in the richness of his mercy. That word comfort, too, is the word paraclete in Greek. And we see that other times where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit will come. I'm going away, but I'm sending a comforter. One who will be your advocate, one who will intercede for you, one who's going to continue to look out for you and guide you, even as I have looked out for you and guided you, one who will provide that encouragement for your faith day by day. Barnabas is known as the encourager, right? If you think about Bible characters, Barnabas is the one always assigned to be as the one who encourages. Again, that same idea of the one who provides comfort and encouragement. And I just want to relay this one story. It has the same flavor as everything we've been talking about, and maybe even the same flavor as our sharing in a minute or two. But Barnabas was sent to this town of Antioch, or the city of Antioch, because a church has started there. Some believers in Jesus. And Barnabas went and he saw what the grace of God had done. He was made aware. He could see what God was doing in that place. He was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So this man who's just full of faith, goodness, filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to see what God was doing in that place. He was filled with encouragement, and then he spoke encouragement to the people of that place. Just like Anna, just like Simeon, just like Elizabeth in our stories. So we want to share our own stories here today, but before I open it up to that, I just want to point out one other thing that might flavor our sharing. Simeon here is also realistic. Like, everything going on in these two chapters is just flat out great news. Salvation to the whole world, you know. But Simeon's able to see, he's able to perceive through all this that not everything's going to be great because of what's being revealed here, you know. He says this child's destined to call the falling and rising of many in Israel, a sign to be spoken against. Somehow, what this child offers is going to bring some confrontation too, including in people's hearts, where they're going to have to decide, is what he's sharing, which is really going against the grain and the kingdoms of this world, and the things that we seek after. Am I going to choose that, or am I going to choose to continue the way I have? The rich young ruler was offered something by Jesus, a new way of living. He went away sad, He just couldn't receive that. However, you have that woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil, the one who had a bad reputation in town, but her life was turned upside down with joy and abundance of life. So things are going to happen that there's going to be great reversals. And one day we look forward to things fully coming to that place of reversal and God's righteousness and goodness. But also that those who align themselves with Jesus and his mission, including his mother, are going to experience some of the consequences of that choice. You know, a sword's going to pierce her. You know, she's going to face a lot of suffering as she aligns herself with her son in the times to come. So sometimes our testimony is going to be great, miraculous. God has moved in powerful ways. Sometimes our testimony is the Holy Spirit brought conviction to my heart. I really had to wrestle through stuff. The Holy Spirit was more like a discomforter, and turned me upside down and brought me to a place of remorse. But God moved in that distress in my heart to lead me to something new. Or just even the presence of Christ's Spirit in my heart causes me to mourn, and to grieve over what I see in the world around me. It's not a wonderful testimony, but it's a testimony of something's changed within my heart where now it matters what people around me are dealing with, whether it's in my neighborhood or across the world. Or just the experience, the consequences of trying to stay true to my Savior has caused me to experience a backlash from others who see things differently. The world's going in this particular direction. I feel like I'm going upstream against it, and it's not always easy. But it's still a testimony that the Lord's at work in all of that to continue to lead me and encourage me. So just some thoughts here that as we share a sense or our eyes are open to how the Lord's working, sometimes it's wonderful stories, but sometimes it's because I've chosen this or because this is the way of the Lord, it's not always so easy. And Mary would find that out, and we experience that too. You know, and Jesus obviously experienced that, even to the point of the cross. So I just want to open it up here. If anybody wants to share, I wonder, yeah, Brandon, are you willing to be available with a microphone? Especially, you know, it's the last service of the year. It's a time when we often look back over the year. I just want to say it was helpful to me or inspiring in our Christmas letter to think what happened in our church this past year, just to be able to list out how, just the different ways we ministered to each other or to the community around us or how God was faithful. So anyway, if anybody wants to share any testimonial of how God's been faithful, we'd appreciate it.
I have seen God's faithfulness in this congregation this year and throughout the years, but I guess I'm just continually overwhelmed with the generosity that I see here. You all gave the school kits so generously. And then one right after another, we have asked, will you supply this? And it's hardly a week that goes by that I'm not taking food or clothing or both to the food bank from congregation here. So thank you for showing God's love.
I feel like I've been really silent this year, and this is why. It's been a really hard year. With struggles and disappointment and some really scary stuff. And I feel sometimes like I don't know why I had to go through all that, because I don't feel like I'm any further, really. I'm still short of breath, and so we don't have it all figured out yet. But as I was thinking about sharing this morning, I kept being reminded, now I think I lost it, of our daughter's, when you're on Instagram, you get like a tagline, sort of like a, not a slogan, but I don't know how to describe it. But under her name on Instagram, it says, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it really, really well. And it's just kind of a funny thing. But anyway, that's kind of how I felt as far as, I don't know what God's doing with me, but I know he's doing it really, really well. And I just want to be open to that and just thank each of you, because you have been his hands, his feet, his voice.
I would echo April's sentiment of it being a very hard year. And I have been continually grateful for a church family that I can look at and think, they've gone through tragedy, they've gone through suffering, and here they are, they've kept the faith. So
it's coming up on a year now that my oldest sister, we were thinking we were losing her, and her desire was to live to be 90 and to live to see her 70th wedding anniversary. And God has been faithful to both of those wishes. She turned 90 in June, and tomorrow it will be their 70th wedding anniversary. So we're just so grateful to God for his goodness in giving Gladys.
So I think my theology continues to evolve and change, and maybe more in 2023 than the previous years. And a question I have is that God at work?
I meet with several other brothers every other week at Landis Home, have a good time of sharing together. And we were meeting on Friday this past week, and one of the brothers shared that in the book of Luke, whenever something is happening, the Holy Spirit is there. And so what I'm hearing this morning is things are changing in our lives. Things are stalemated sometimes. Sometimes things move ahead. Sometimes they go backward and we don't feel good at all about what happened. But when things happen, the Holy Spirit is there.
When God brought ACAP in for me, I wasn't sure what my future was. But now that ACAP is with me, I'm sure, I don't mean to be greedy, I'm not trying to think about myself or anything like that, but I'm also trying to think about other people, because I was not right though. Yeah. And when God brought you guys into my life, then I was really right.
If I enumerated all the times that I've felt God intervening in my life, in our lives, it would take me probably the next hour. But I'm just grateful for having my husband survive 3 hospitalizations, and that he, after 10 years of fighting cancer, he's still here. And I've seen God work in so many ways in my life, and so many times some little thing has happened and I say, thank you, Jesus. So God has been faithful, and I pray that will continue.
The way I have seen God work is also through the people of this congregation. We came to this congregation about 25, 26 years ago. Some of you were here much longer than that. But during those years, we have experienced a lot of good, wonderful times with the people of this congregation. April just shared with us, I marvel at the grace of God in her life, how she smiled so sweetly, even though I know she was going through difficult times. That was the grace of God coming through. I'm thankful for the grace of God when I see people like Sophia and Dan with their youth and energy and creativity and bringing some inspirational life to our congregation. I thank you for people like Eileen who give wonderful children's meetings that are helpful to the children, but we oldsters also enjoy and learn from her stories. I thank you for young families and the way that they marshal their children around serving the Lord and give lots of time and energy. It's very upbuilding to me to see that. I'm thankful for pastors, and especially now our pastor today, who I frequently hear people say, yeah, our pastor was to see us. So when I think about some need, I discover that the pastor observed that and was already there. So thank you, Steve, for being observant and meeting the needs of people. I could go on and on and on, but thank you for the grace of God that I see in your lives and your relationships. It's very, very encouraging and challenging.
May I speak also? This year started out, of course, for our congregation with the loss of Marilyn. And that touched all of us very deeply. I'm still trying to get over the loss of Marilyn in our congregation. And then throughout the years, I think a lot, throughout the year, I've thought a lot about the shocking things that I hear. In my large world and the smaller world, but I know that God is there. So here we are at the end of another year, and it hardly seems possible. For Christmas, my sisters and I exchange gifts every year, somewhat small gifts. This year, Mary Louise gave me a big motto. Maybe about as big as our promise thing that we have out here. I have it in my living room on a shelf. And it is the solid truth. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. It's in Him that I'm going to keep trusting.
During this season, I've been listening to a song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and it's O Come and See. It's based on Psalms 34, 1 through 10. And it's a message that I think inviting the world. And it's blessed me. Glorify the Lord with me. Magnify His name forever. It's been a blessing.
This has been a year of celebration for Steve and I. Celebrations that we at times weren't expecting to ever have the opportunity to do.
we celebrated 50 years of marriage, which is a miracle. In many ways, it's a miracle. We've welcomed a new grandson into our family and are just rejoicing at how our children and our grandchildren still love to get together and love to come for Christmas. So that was another celebration for us. But one of the things that kind of kept me grounded or kept me thinking that, you know, all is not wonderful. It never is. But when we were on our trip to celebrate our anniversary, we were walking beside a stream in Alaska, and the salmon were trying to swim upstream and looked to me like they were getting absolutely nowhere. They just were there going for all they were worth, and there they still were. And I thought about how many times that has been true for me and for others of us, that we think, God, we're doing what you told us to do. We feel like we're where you want us to be, but nothing's happening. And so it's good to keep in mind that he's got it.
I find it pretty amazing looking at our congregation and a lot of things that we just kind of take for granted from one week to the next, how things are planned, how things happen. But we have a congregation of people who, when something doesn't go according to plans, just kick in and make it happen. You'll notice in the bulletin, Shelby was going to lead singing this morning. And we were in contact with each other, working with what songs. And she was going to play the piano and was hoping to have somebody help with the leading. So I was working on how we would make this happen, was going to help her out. And yesterday morning about 10 o'clock, I got a text that an emergency situation had arisen for her that she would not be here. So we did some more searching, and Sophia came on board, and between the two of us, we continued on with what Shelby was planning and made it happen. But we kind of take for granted that it's going to work out. But I look at what our congregation does in these situations, and a lot of times it probably goes unnoticed. But when something kicks in that spoils our plans, we take hold of and make it happen, and God will be glorified in the end.
I'll stand, because that's what I'm grateful for, that I'm vertical. It's been 7 months since my traumatic brain injury, and God is faithful.
Looking back on the year, especially the last couple months while I was in college, wow. I did it. And I actually, there were some times I was stressful, but I got pretty much everything done on time, even. And no passing. No fails and no C's. And I'm just, wow. It's just happy and something to celebrate. So, yeah.
So, this past year has been really hard for me. It's probably been one of the hardest years of my life. And, yeah. But I've found, a really deep sense of, peace now. And it feels really good. And, yeah.
Marvin, you said you've been here for 26 years and others have been here a lot longer. We've been here a little over a year. But immediately Nelson and I felt a sense of belonging here. I appreciate so much the, like Merle said, the generosity of the people, the volunteer hours that I hear people put in. I appreciate Neil's honesty of questions. I appreciate the sister care groups and the men's breakfast for Nelson, that for the men's things. It's just been a very nice fit for us, and it has been a hard year for us personally on some levels, and other times it's been good. It's been good being near our children and grandchildren, but I think, you know, we all keep each other in prayer. And I think that's so important, so thank you for that.
I'm going to close our time in prayer. Not our service, but our sharing time. Lord, we are grateful for your faithfulness, for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you that you are present. You've revealed yourself to us in the love and faithfulness of other people, in maybe new understandings of who you are, what your purposes are for us and for your church. Thank you that you are present with us in our questions. You give us strength to endure difficult circumstances, that you are the one who provides us with a sense of peace and security, that you are present with us even when there's not answers or resolution or healing. And we thank you for the times that you have brought healing. You have brought new realities and new birth, but also the times that you've been our strength and our hope in the midst of grieving and loss. May we continue to be the body of Christ for each other, Jesus for each other. May we continue to have open hearts, devout and seeking and trusting hearts. Give us patience in our searching, and as we continue to listen for your voice. In this new year, give us hope, give us faith, and trust in you. And may we shine the light and the love of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.